Welcome back into the Pick and Roll NBA podcast with Jet and Sap, presented by a Full Press Coverage. Like we've been saying, the playoffs are right around the corner, Sap. Teams are really, really gearing up for that. But with the regular season coming to an end means that you have to start talking about all NBA and MVP and Defensive Player of the Year and all the awards. And with those comes a lot of ramifications for the future, especially all NBA, Sap. As we've talked about a few times before on this show, it has massive impacts on players' contracts going forward and their extensions and how much money they can make. There's only 15 spots available, and there's going to be players who are deserving who are left off that all-NBA team, and that may in turn change the fates of certain franchises, because all-NBA, if you make it, means you're eligible for a Supermax extension. Nobody to date has turned down that extension, but players have turned down max contract extensions to test free agency. So there's a lot at play here, Sap. A lot of discussion about Jaylen Brown recently, but all-NBA is going to change a lot of fates for players and franchises this year.
Without question, Jet, when you look at Jaylen Brown, if he makes first, second, or third team all-NBA, he'd be eligible for a five-year, $287 million contract. That's a little over $51 million per season. If he doesn't make all-NBA, the max he could get would be 4 years, $165 million, which is $41 million a year. In totality, it's over $100 million. That's what's at stake for Jaylen Brown if he makes all-NBA. It also is important for the Celtics, because if he is all-NBA, in all likelihood, he will sign that Supermax and he'll be a member of the Boston Celtics going forward, because he's eligible to be a free agent after the 2024 season. Now, he can sign the Supermax and then a year later go into Brad Stevens' office and demand a trade. That is still on the table, because that's the way the NBA works. But the thing that makes this so perplexing to me is how much value it is to make all-NBA, right? I mean, if you're MVP, you're also eligible for the Supermax. If you're Defensive Player of the Year, you're eligible for the Supermax. That's a lot to lay on the 100 sports writers and broadcasters that select these teams or these awards. And quite frankly, I think that some of these voters don't take it seriously enough. No. And I'll go back to last year. Desmond Bane and Fred VanVleet got one vote each for third team all-NBA. Really nice players, but they're not deserving of that.
No, Sap. It's a great point that it's so important, and that it's the fact that it's in the hands of just these writers is, it's not a great system, but I don't know what a better system would be in terms of voting. Maybe the executives, but then they have a bias too. You know, they want to get their own guys all NBA to help themselves. The writers, like you said, some don't take it that seriously, but, and also there's some players they like personally and some players they don't like personally, and that affects their voting. And we've seen with the All-Star game, with when players vote, they don't take that voting seriously too. So you need to have all NBA because, you know, it's a history of the league, and again, it's tied into contracts, but the way it's determined isn't great. And that also kind of goes into how it's selected, which is, you know, two guards, two forwards, and a center. Basketball's changed, Sap. We've talked about this with the All-Star game, right? Maybe should it be the 15 best players, period, instead of, you know, the six best guards and the six best forwards and the three best centers? There's a lot of complications with the way it works and how much of that is tied to player value in terms of what they can make for a contract.
And it still goes back to Jaylen Brown, right? Because we immediately think of Jaylen Brown as a guard, but the Celtics haven't been able to use their two bigs lineup much this year because Rob Williams III has been out a lot and Al Horford can't play back-to-back nights. So actually Jaylen Brown has played 60% of his minutes at forward and 40% of his minutes at guard. So he is a forward, but he's going to get votes for both guard and forward. What happens is whichever position he gets more votes from, that's what he'll be slotted in. We remember a couple of years ago, Jason Tatum ended up with more votes than Kyrie Irving, but because Jason Tatum got some votes at guard, more votes at forward, he didn't make the team, right? And that cost him right. $32 million. A few years ago, Klay Thompson didn't make the team. It cost him $40 million, although I don't think anybody voted for Klay Thompson as a forward. He's a pure guard. With Jaylen Brown, he's a true wing at this point, right? And there's a bunch of wings in the league. we know there's two great centers in the league, right? Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid. Who's the third best center in the league? Someone's going to make third team All-NBA. It's probably going to be Bam Adebayo, who I think is an outstanding player. But is Bam Adebayo a better player than Jaylen Brown, or is he one of the 15 best players in the league? I don't think so. But he's going to be put there as third team All-NBA, which would make him eligible for Supermax whenever his contract is up. The way I would do it, Jet, is just the 15 best players in the league. My first team All-NBA this year would be Jokic and Embiid. I know they're both centers, and it's probably a chicken way of voting it, but to me, they both belong to be on first team All-NBA. Tatum, Luka, and Giannis. That's my first team All-NBA, and then you go from there. Is Jaylen Brown worthy of being second or third team All-NBA? It's a close call. There's a lot of great players in the league. I think he's right on the edge. And obviously, you know, he's going to be looking for this vote the way a presidential candidate looks for votes, because it's going to mean an awful lot of money for Jaylen Brown if he makes all NBA. But I would just get rid of the positions and go with the 15 top players, because as we've talked about, it's positionless basketball. I know we talked about the early 70s Knicks last week. That was a team that had clearly defined positional players. Clyde Frazier was the point guard. Earl Monroe was the shooting guard. Bradley was the small forward. DeBuscher was the power forward. Willis Reed was the center. I know I'm old. I apologize. But that's the way the game was then. It's not like that anymore. Sure, Embiid and Jokic are both centers, but Jokic is leading the league in assists. When have we ever seen a center lead the league in assists? And we know what Embiid can do. The guy shoots nearly 40% from three, right? So it's very, very blurred at this point, and I think you should just go with the top 15 players and go from there.
I agree, Sap, especially because like this, like we keep hammering home, they've tied it to what a player's earnings are. So should Bam Adebayo get the benefit of earning way more money than a Jaylen Brown purely because he plays a certain position? That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. If you want to reward players with X amount of percentage more of a contract extension, it should be for what they do, you know, on the court, not what position they play. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I fully agree with you. It should be the 15 best players. And I don't see why there would be a lot of pushback amongst the players about that, Sap. Like you would think it would be the players who would be the people who should determine in terms of CBA negotiation, okay, this is how we want to tie it in to make sure, you know, we our best players get the contract extensions that they want, that they should be okay with it being the 15 best players. Like maybe Bam Adebayo stands up and said, no, I don't want it to be that way. But I feel like he'd be in the minority there. If I was part of players union, I'd say, yeah, 15 best players. That's who gets those Supermax extensions, period.
Yeah, it's not football where, okay, you got first team all pro at quarterback, something Aaron Rodgers has been voted on five times. Just want to drop that in, which is two more than Tom Brady. So I just, you know, want to make sure everybody knows that. But obviously, when you look at the Players Association, Jaylen Brown's a vice president in the Players Association, as are two of his teammates. I want to speak English on this podcast at some point. Yeah. Malcolm Brogdon and Grant Williams, also vice president. So maybe in the next contract negotiation, which they're kind of working on right now, that will be a talking point. Again, I don't know what players would turn that down other than the centers, right? Because there's just not a lot of depth at center. Look, years ago, the league was dominated by centers. In fact, I tweeted out earlier today, Bill Russell somehow three times in his career was league MVP, but second team all NBA, because there was a guy by the name of Will Chamberlain around who got first team all NBA, but Russell was the MVP of the league. Maybe you'll see that again this year. Maybe Jokic is first team all NBA and beat second team all NBA, but because of the voting mechanism, maybe Giannis gets a lot of those votes that would go to Jokic and B becomes MVP or vice versa. I mean, again, this gives me a popsicle headache, and I like this stuff. I'm sure it's giving everybody a popsicle headache, but yeah, I think that they have to kind of tweak this going forward. To me, the five best players in the league this year, as I've said, are Giannis, Embiid, Jokic, Tatum. Luka might be losing a little steam because he's missed a lot of games and Dallas may not even make the playoffs. But let's get real. He's one of the five best players in the league. And as far as Jaylen Brown, if he gets slotted in at guard, there's like a dozen guards out there that to me are worthy of being all NBA, right?
And they need that. You're seeing the campaign already from the Celtics and Celtics fans and stuff on Twitter to consider him a forward, because I don't think he'll make it as a guard.
No, there's too many guys. Okay, so you got Luka, you got Damian Lillard, you got Donovan yep. Mitchell, you got Ja Morant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Heck, Steph Curry, since he's come back, is lighting it up. You just go on and on and on. There's so many great guards in the league. Look, Malcolm Brogdon, you know, was there to support his teammate after Sunday's win over San Antonio when he said that Jaylen Brown is the best shooting guard in the league. But Jaylen Brown's played 60% of his minutes at forward. And again, shooting guard is kind of an old term. You know, there was a point where, okay, Dwayne Wade was a shooting guard. Jerry West is a shooting guard. Obviously, the two greatest shooting guards ever in order, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. That was pretty simple. The league's different right now. So I think they have to tweak this a little bit going forward because there's so much money at stake. You know, this isn't like in the NFL. I don't even know if there's bonuses or if it is, it's maybe $1 million. Let's say Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady would have had it in their contracts. If they're first team all pro, they get $1 million bonus, $500,000 if they're second team. For what those guys make on and off the field, not that important. We're talking about over $100 million for Jaylen Brown and also how it impacts the Celtics. I'm sure the Celtics want to see him make all NBA because they can this summer offer him the Supermax, which most likely he won't turn down. Doesn't mean that he can't demand a trade in a year, but
no one's turned it down.
The can down the trail. Exactly. And why would they? It's over $100 million different at this point. So let's just go with the top 15 players, and that is the best way to do it. But I don't know if that's going to happen sooner rather than later, because that's probably going to have to be worked into the new CBA, which is being negotiated now. And if they do it, that's the way they're going to have to handle this.
Well, Sap, you know, maybe the mechanism is that that's not what triggers a Supermax, is that you put it back on the teams and you say each team, you know, you get two Supermax contract extensions, you know, of your roster, and you can use them on whoever you see fit. And then it's maybe I don't know that the teams necessarily want that pressure. Because then they, you know, then there's a lot of internal squabble of what players should get it, what players shouldn't get it. But there are going to be players just like every year, this year, that are left off, that are deserving of all NBA. And it's going to cost them, like you said, over $100 million. And it's because of the voting sometimes isn't taken seriously, or the way that it's structured with the centers isn't fair in terms of the 15 best players overall. And so it's not by any means a perfect system. It's not even a really good system as it is right now.
No, and you look at the forward position, right, and LeBron James and Kevin Durant, who are still two of the top 10 players in the league, but they're not durable anymore. They'll probably still make third-team All-NBA at forward, despite LeBron missing a third of the season, Durant missing half the season, because there's just not as many forwards in the league as there are guards. What I would put forward, and this is me stealing something that you said to me 5 years ago, and I think you were the first person that pointed this out, to be eligible for all NBA, to be eligible for the scoring title, which does exist, you have to play 58 games to be eligible for the scoring title. And I know we're going to talk about how that is determined going forward.
What's 58, Sap? Is that a specific percentage or just a random number?
It seems to be about 72% of the games.
So it's a totally random number.
It's a random number. So like 80% of 82 is 65, 66 in that range. That's where I'd go with, like, 66 games. If you play 66 games, now you're eligible for the scoring title, All-NBA, Defensive Player of the Year, whatever. Or you could also paint it into total minutes played, maybe 2,100 minutes. Because here's my conspiracy theory on that. If you go to, say, a 66-game minimum to be eligible for these awards, guys are going to still load manage, be in uniform, and literally play 3 minutes. And
you're 100% technically, right.
Technically, they've played in the game. And then they come off the court, and then what do you do? And again, this is a big problem in the league because, you know, the other night, Jason Tatum doesn't play. And look, Tatum's one of the superstars in the league that plays a lot. So he doesn't play. And if you're a family of four, mom, dad, whatever, two kids, and you lay out $1,000 for tickets, food, parking, all of that stuff, a Celtics jersey, and you go to the game and Jason Tatum doesn't play, and it's because of load management, they put out some sort of fake injury. That's a turnoff for fans, right? And again, I'm not getting on Tatum because he's one of the guys that likes to play. I think it's more of a team decision with him as it is with a lot of these players. But yeah, I think 66 games would make you eligible for these awards, or 2,100 minutes, so that you know don't have loopholes that would change how these things are determined. The scoring title is 58 games. I remember last year I was just hoping LeBron got to 58 games because he would have been right there with Embiid to win the scoring title, but he didn't. And Embiid ends up winning the scoring title, which I know we're going to talk about that in a few moments, how that's determined. But yeah, it's got to have a minimum amount of games to be eligible for all NBA. I don't know if other forwards in the league that are going to be even second team all NBA. I mean, Tatum and Giannis are clearly the two best forwards in the league. Like after that, it's so guard dominated. Right. You know, who's going to be second team all NBA at forward? Is it going to be Pascal Siakam? I mean, whoever, maybe Jaylen Brown will get that position and deservedly so. I think he's one of the 15 best players in the league. And if he's slotted in as a forward, I think he's going to make it. If he's slotted in as a guard, it's a 50-50 proposition.
Julius Randle, I guess, would be considered for that as well. Yeah, I mean, it's a bonus,
a power forward. Like, again, these positions are blurred. Anthony Davis, is he a center? He doesn't like to be known as a center. He wants to be known as a power forward. So it's difficult. And we wouldn't even talk about this, to be honest with you, if it didn't impact salaries so much. I mean, if it was just like a talking point of, oh, congratulations, you're third team all NBA. But now that means a lot of money. And down the road, maybe it determines if a player makes the Hall of Fame or not.
Yeah, but it's more, I think, more relevant to right now, Sap. Yes, I agree with you. It does. But it determines whether a player may stay in their city or not.
More than anything. Yeah. And the money, obviously. I mean, if you're Jaylen Brown, you're going to be on pins and needles when these awards come out and all NBA teams are announced, because that's a massive difference. And again, we're not going to, you know, have a telethon or create a GoFundMe page for players. Right. I mean, they're doing okay. But look, this is their opportunity to make as much money as they can. And I always support them on these things.
Yeah. I mean, it's a business on both ends. The players, you know, get traded from city to city. And they sell a lot of merchandise for the teams, and, you know, they attract a lot of tickets. So they deserve to get paid. We live in a capitalist country, and that's the way business works. No one's crying poor for them, but if there wasn't value in paying the players this much, they wouldn't be paid this much. You know, the NBA owners aren't doing it out of the kindness of their heart, giving them these guys millions of dollars, doing it because it's a good investment.
Jet, the Phoenix Suns were just sold for over $4 billion. A basketball team sold for $4 billion, and it's not even close to being the most profitable and most valuable franchise in the NBA. That would be the Knicks, the Bulls, the Lakers, the Warriors, the Celtics, all pretty substantially more valuable than the Phoenix Suns, and they just got sold for over $4 billion.
Yeah, it's big business in many ways, and that's why the players are making big money and eligible for way bigger money. And Sap, you know, just to hark on what you said, you know, you gave me credit for it, which I appreciate, that the all NBA and all the awards should be tied into games played or minutes or whatever you have to do. Obviously, I've been fully behind that idea for a long time, and I think that that's the way to really combat load management as much as possible. I've heard them; they've been talking about tying it into the postseason awards, but I haven't heard them saying they're tying it into the All NBA. And I think, you know, again, there's with the postseason awards, there's Rookie of the Year, which doesn't trigger any contract stuff. You know, Coach of the Year, that's a coach thing. But in terms of players, it's Defensive Player of the Year and MVP. Those are the only two things that tie into contract. So you kind of, okay, that's great that those awards are being tied into, you know, games played. But you're talking about 15 slots when you're talking about all NBA. So it affects way more players. That way, it'll affect more players showing up for games that they've been resting otherwise. So I hope that when they're talking about postseason awards, they're also talking about all NBA. They have not made that clear with the way they're negotiating right now, but that to me seems to be the most obvious solution to, it's not going to be a full fix, but it will help this load management thing.
Right. Because how many players really have a chance to win MVP right now? It's a 3-man race, Jokic, Embiid, Giannis. But there's probably 25 players in the league that think they have a chance to be all NBA. So it impacts far more players. In 1978, Bill Walton won MVP of the league. He played only 58 games. That was at a time when the players voted for the award, and also when it was strictly an award given to centers. Like, it was Kareem one year, Kareem the next year, Bob McAdoo, who technically wasn't a center, but he was a big. And then back it went to Kareem, and then Bill Walton snuck in 1978. And then Moses Malone won like 3 out of 5 years as MVP of the league. It was finally like Dr. J in 1981, who was the first non-center in over a decade that won MVP. But that was the first year that the media voted for it. And I think the media gets it right more than if the players voted, especially back then when it was strictly a center's award, like the NFL MVP right now is a quarterback's award, and rightfully so. They're so important. But yeah, I would get this done. May have to wait till the next CBA, but it just has such an impact on not just the players, but on the franchises. And again, it puts a lot of pressure on sports writers and broadcasters, and let's hope they take this seriously. And I think for the most part, they do, but there's probably some out there that don't, just like there's a lot of members of the BBWAA they vote for the Hall of Fame, don't take it seriously. Like obviously Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens aren't in the Hall of Fame. Scott Rolen is. But last year, John Lackey got a vote for the Hall of Fame. Houston Street got a vote for the Hall of Fame. Are you kidding me? To me, if you put a player of that caliber on your Hall of Fame ballot, you should lose your right to vote. Seriously, if you put John Lackey or Houston Street on your Hall of Fame ballot, take the votes away from that person for the rest of their lives. I know it's draconian, but that's...
No, I agree. It's serious. You know, it's legacy. It's how you're remembered. And, you're giving someone, you're taking away from somebody else. And with those guys, they were fine players, but nowhere near Hall of Fame caliber. And, I've said this before. I have a lot of problems with the NBA Hall of Fame. I think it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, but I think it's too easy to get in. Too many players are in right now. It should be a little bit tougher. I think the NFL does the best job of all the Hall of Fames, but it sounds silly because it's a museum for sports, and some people are like, okay, well, that's to who don't care about sports, it maybe sounds silly to them, but it's a big deal. It's an important thing, and like I said, it's how people are remembered, and so it should be taken seriously. And as we said at the very beginning of the show, Seb, your voting with All NBA is tying directly into a player's income, and so if you're not taking it seriously, you're in effect taking money out of those players' pockets, which that's not okay. And I know you'll hear the guys who voted in the Hall of Fame, like you said, in baseball, say, well, John Lackey was really nice to me. We had a great relationship. I wanted to do him a favor. That's not okay. So send him a fruit basket. That's not the favor to return, is writing him in the Hall of Fame. It's somebody who you, like you said, Desmond Bain. Oh, Desmond Bain gave me a great interview. I voted for him for All NBA. No. That's not how it works. That's not how it should work. Vote for who the 15 best players are. You can have, it's okay to, there's probably, like you said, Sap, it's probably like 30 players you could even consider for All NBA. Maybe that's a little more, but beyond that, it's pretty obvious if you're voting for somebody who has no business being in All NBA consideration. And so, yeah, maybe you should have that privilege taken away from you.
I'm waiting for the first story to drop about payola, right? Like, so obviously it means so much money. A player's all of a sudden going to bribe writers. Like, here's $5,000.
More likely an agent,
exactly,
right?
Because the agent could be the conduit.
Sure.
So, yeah, here's $5,000. Vote for my guy for All NBA. Because
God knows the sports writers aren't making much money. So
No. You throw $5,000, $10,000 their way, and you don't have to do it with all that many of them. There's only 100. If you did it with 20 and you gave them each $5,000, you're talking about $100,000. That's well worth the investment. Your player becomes All NBA and triggers a $287.7 million contract, which you get, 3 or 4% of anyway? Maybe the player doesn't even have to know about this. This sounds like a great script for a movie, doesn't it?
I'll start writing it with you, Sam.
Start it up. I'll work on financing. You get the screenplay going, and we'll go ahead and we'll win an Oscar in 3 years.
Okay, I'm good with that. And that would mean that we'd be in good company with Kobe Bryant, who has an Oscar.
Yes.
You know how many Oscars LeBron has? No Oscars, Sam.
No Oscars, yeah, I know. Remember before Scorsese won for Best Director for The Departed, which was like 5 movies too late for Scorsese being Best Director? I think it was a few years before that, some rapper got up and sang a song and got an Oscar. And I forget what the name of the rapper was. It wasn't even like a high level rapper. It was a guy no one barely knew about. And Jon Stewart was the host that night. And he said, so-and-so, so-and-so, one career Oscar, Martin Scorsese, none. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a problem, isn't it, with the Academy Awards? But finally, Scorsese did get his Oscar for The Departed. But we're working on that. Maybe Scorsese directing that would be great.
There you go.
We can get my Paisan involved, sure.
We need an Italian agent, right? That's how you get Scorsese involved. The agent has to be Italian.
DiCaprio.
There you go. But I know, Sap, you also wanted to talk about how the scoring title is determined. You talked about that earlier, and that it's, you know, you to be eligible, you need to play 58 games, and then they go by points per game. There's been an argument recently to change the scoring title from the person who has the most points per game to the person who finishes with the most total points. Jason Tatum this year is the guy who has the most total points in the league. As of now, he is 2,106 points, averaging 30.1 points per game. He's played 70 games. The guy who would be the scoring title leader, by the way, that's currently determined is Joel Embiid. He has 2,032 points, and he's averaging 33.3 points a game, but he's played 61 games, so 9 games less than Jason Tatum. Do you think this is the best way to determine the scoring championship, or should it be total points?
In the past, this was a solution without a problem, because when Jordan was firing off 10 consecutive scoring titles, he played every game, every year, with the exception of missing one or two games. So that was never brought up. I remember a few years ago, I think Harden won a scoring title, but he didn't lead the league in points in totality, but he played 71 games, and whoever scored more points, more raw points, had played like 78 or 79 games. It may have been LeBron that year. I mean, so there was a little narrative of that. I'm sure this is coming from, you know, the green teamers who were like, hey, wait a second, Jason Tatum has scored more points.
Oh, sure. Scal talks about it every game, Seth.
Yeah, because he's really a deep thinker. So, you know, I look at that and say,
it's not nice.
I know. Well, I'm just not a big fan of his. I'm sorry.
I'm not either, but that's neither here nor there.
I mean, he was on EEI last week with my friends, Mego and Arcan, and of course, someone who I like a lot, Adam Jones, and he just barked at them.
Oh, he does not like Adam Jones.
No, and I love Adam Jones. He's a breath of fresh air on either station, but Scalabrine barked at him. You don't know the league. Okay, great, Scal. You were the 10th man on a championship team. You stumbled into broadcasting. Before you stumbled into broadcasting, maybe you should have taken classes at Syracuse or Emerson or wherever and put your time in the way Jones and Mego and Arcan did, you know, working at New Hampshire stations, interning, doing whatever it took to get to where they're at. So I just want to support my friends over there at WEEI, which is kind of odd saying that, because I know you worked there and you had some good relationships and some bad relationships there. Like, yes, that's radio anyway. But my point with this is I can see logically that makes sense, right? Like, the home run leader last year was Aaron Judge. And obviously, he blew the field away, but they don't give the home run title to home runs per game. It's total home runs. In hockey, you know, the goal scored leader is the guy with the most goals, not goals per game, etc.
Touchdown leader in the NFL is
how many thing. Yeah. Touchdowns. And then the passing title goes in terms of efficiency, you know, passer rating, which, by the way, Aaron Rodgers has won that 4 times. I just wanted to drop that in too.
Good for him.
Yeah. Future Jet and 2-time Super Bowl winner, Aaron Rodgers. But that's done with this formula. No one even knows what it is. Yeah. Logically, it makes sense. But it maybe it would force players to play a little more often. Like the other night, Embiid missed a matchup with Jokic in Denver.
Yeah.
Right. Again, it was load management.
That may have cost the MVP, by the way.
You know what? And I can see why, because now you're not facing your biggest competitor for MVP for load management. The 76ers are still in contention to maybe be the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. Like, I don't want to sound like the old man because I'm anything but that. I love the NBA today, but I just remember in like 1981, you knew it was going to be Dr. J or Larry Bird as league MVP. And they faced each other 6 times in the regular season. They weren't missing games against each other, whether it was back-to-back or coming off a West Coast trip or whatever. And not having Embiid there, that may have cost him, because now he's only played 61 games. What's he going to finish at, about 65 games? Is that enough to really be MVP when Jokic plays closer to 75 games? It could cost him, and it's a bad look. So if you make it total points, maybe players will play more. And maybe you tie in scoring title to Supermax, although that could get a little bit hairy because now you're just going to have guys out there at the end of the year just hucking up shots to get the Supermax. I mean, everybody's going to turn into Kobe Bryant or Allen Iverson at some point. It's a good discussion, but I think just leave well enough alone and maybe table it and then see what happens going forward. But it is a real argument. And for the sake of the podcast, I'll go along with it. Why not? Just total points. That's who's the scoring leader, because it's done like that in every other sport other than basketball, where it's a per game average. I mean, one year Will Chamberlain led the league in assists, but he didn't win the assist title because someone else averaged more assists than Will per game. Yeah. Right. So yeah, let's change it. We're here for change. You know what? The thing I like about us, Jet, we are the Winston Wolf of the NBA, which of course was Harvey Keitel's character in Pulp Fiction. We just fix things.
There you go. Great character, by the way. Harvey Keitel, one of his best characters, and who has had many great ones. I think it makes a lot of sense to do it. Like you said, in all the other leagues, that's how it's determined. It's not a per game thing. It's not going to be an issue this year, but that 58 game threshold seems like a very arbitrary, weird, low number to me. I would raise that. Do they now, Sap, with the 20 new trophies that they introduced, did they create a trophy for this too? Do you remember off the
top
of your
head? That's a good question. What's the Jordan Trophy? Is the Jordan Trophy the finals MVP is named after Bill Russell?
MVP. The MVP, I think, is the Jordan Trophy now.
Okay. Yeah. Which actually,
the regular season
has
MVP. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, the scoring title. I mean, if you're going to give out a scoring title, it could only be named after two guys, right? Chamberlain or Jordan. That's it. I mean, they seem like they won all of them when they were playing. So it would have to be. Is there any award named after Will Chamberlain? Like, there should be. I mean, he's only one of the five greatest players in the history of the sport.
I'm not sure of anything.
And the thing about Wilt is he was, shall we say, a unique guy, kind of a flighty type. Will Chamberlain, to say the least. But I mean, let's not deny the guy was a physical force and one of the five greatest players in the history of the sport, and probably the most unstoppable force. So yeah, maybe give the scoring title a name. The Will Chamberlain Award goes to the league's highest scoring player on a total points basis, not per average. And again, Wilt was a guy who never missed games. In fact, one year, the year Wilt averaged 50.4 points per game, he actually averaged more than 48 minutes per game. He never sat. I mean, he played every minute of every game and overtime.
Sap, they do have a Wilt Chamberlain trophy that they just announced. Do you want to guess what it's for?
Most women slept with?
Nope, it's not for that, but that would be a good one.
The rebounding title?
It is for the Rookie of the Year.
Huh. Okay. Wilt's got an award. You know, kind of a weird one, but I mean, again,
of all the things I think of with Will Chamberlain, right, it's not like, wow, what a rookie year. Yeah, it probably did have an amazing rookie year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, stepped into the league and they're like, what the hell is this guy all about? But I'm glad there's an award named after Will Chamberlain, but that's an award that no one's ever won more than once. So maybe there's something better for
Ben
Will,
Simmons. He tried.
You're right. He won it in his second year because he sat out the first year. And now he's going to win the award for the most forgotten player in the NBA. But Oh, man. Talk about a bad contract. You're right. But yeah, let's go with total points rather than points per game. I'm in favor of that. And that would put Jason Tatum in the lead to win the scoring title. And I'm not a green teamer. You know that. But I think logically it makes sense.
Yeah, logically, I agree. It makes sense. And to your point, Sap, it may also encourage players to play more games.
Right.
Which, you know, if that's the byproduct of it, that's only a good thing. Also, just looking at some of these other trophies again, I'd forgotten. I think we talked about this earlier. The George Mikan Trophy is the most improved player of the year, and the John Havlicek Trophy is for the sixth man of the year.
That makes sense.
Some other trophy names. And the Michael Jordan is the MVP trophy.
Right. Even though Kareem won more. Kareem's
the they added a new one, Sep. Jerry West is the most clutch player of the year, which how the hell you determine that is, I don't know.
But okay, look, I love Jerry West. He won one title, so all of that clutch stuff was maybe
for
naught.
He hit a half-court shot one time, Sep.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes, and they ended up losing that series. Although he's the only player to win the MVP of the finals on a losing team. LeBron should have won finals MVP in 2015 when the Warriors beat the Cavaliers in six games, and LeBron's second best player was Matthew Dellavedova. Just want to drop that in. I'm just dropping in Aaron Rodgers.
He's still
and
in the league,
James references.
Seth, you know, so he played with a guy who's a longtime NBA veteran in the Matthew
legend,
Dellavedova.
Matthew Dellavedova.
One of the best Australian players of all time.
Yeah, he lost another Australian player in that series, Kyrie Irving, when he blew out his knee in game one.
You know what? Kyrie Irving getting injured and going away actually is a net positive for most teams. So
it has been recently. He would have helped them in the finals, though, in 2015.
You say that, but you don't know that, Seth.
Well, I know it.
We don't give Kyrie Irving any credit on this podcast. That
well,
is the
I do.
Rule. That's,
I do.
That's if there's 10 commandments in this podcast, that's commandment number one. No credit
one
for
through,
Kyrie Irving.
One through nine on your part, I think.
Yeah, that is what it is. It's one through nine. And yes, he's done a great – I know he's getting a lot of pushback. People say, well, it's not his fault the Mavericks are bad right now. Well, you know, the timing is very suspect.
And it also looks like Luka's lost his love for basketball.
Oh, yeah, he might retire after this year. That's what happens when you're in a room with Kyrie Irving for, you know, multiple hours a day.
The ultimate cooler, Kyrie Irving.
Takes your will to live. It's
right. You walk in the locker room and go, I'm going to choose another profession.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a feeling that Kyrie's not going to be in the Mavs next year. Just a feeling. But Sap, that's going to do it for us here at the Pick and Roll NBA podcast with Jet and Sap. Thanks to Full Press Coverage. Check out their website for all sorts of great stuff, articles, other podcasts. Check them out. Make sure you check out our social medias at JohnSap25 at Jet Stryer for all of our podcast news and info and lots of great polls, thoughts, opinions, all sorts of stuff like that. Sap, we'll be back later this week talking about some of the guys who are getting into the Hall of Fame this year. It's an interesting class this year, headlined by Dirk Nowitzki, Dwayne Wade, Greg Popovich, Pau Gasol, Becky Hammond. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And there will be plenty more to talk about with the playoffs just right around the corner. We do not have to talk about the Celtics getting blown out by the Bradley Beal-less Wizards last night. We can just ignore that.
True.
Okay. So we will not. That will be commandment number two. Never talk about bad Celtics losses. All right, Sap. We're going to take off now. So make sure you stay tuned for another podcast later this week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you later. See ya.